Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to Off the Beaten Track podcast. I hope you're all doing well. It's another week, therefore it's another episode. Not content with your free episode every week, every now and again I'll throw you a bonus one. This is one of those times. Today's guest is Justin Onokuzi, and I hope I pronounced that right. You will see when the actual podcast itself starts that I literally asked Justin to introduce himself through fear of embarrassing him by pronouncing his name wrong. So I hope I got it right there, Justin. If I didn't, again, I'm sorry, buddy. Justin was an absolute delight to sit down with. He was introduced to me a little while ago by my good friend Ben, who also facilitated the office space to which we recorded this one. I won't go into the time when we met because I'm sure we touch on this at the beginning of the podcast anyway. So before we get on with it, thanks to 76 for producing this. Thank you to My Name Is Ad for doing the artwork. Thanks to everybody at the Distraction Pieces Network. Thanks to our sponsors, SOS Clothing. I think we're good. I think we're ready to get on with the episode. If you do like this, then please, obviously, if you spot it on the socials, give it a like, love, a retweet, a share. And if you're feeling really generous, then please head over to iTunes, subscribe, and leave us a comment and a little mark out of 5 or out of 10, whatever it is over there. And if you're thirsty for more content, then I do have a Patreon account as well where I put out an episode each week for free there. You can find out about everything at www.offthebeatandtrackpodcast.com. Let's get on with the episode. Please enjoy Off the Beaten Track Podcast. I've got an announcement. Save Our Souls Clothing. www.sosclothing.co.uk. Why am I telling you this? Because they're our official sponsor. Yeah, that's right. Go and check them out because their clothing is off the scale. You're going to love it. So they've decided they want to be our sponsor, which is amazing. And what I have to do is I have to tell you about why they're amazing. So here's a little bit of blurb. So they've only been going a year. And they're based in Southend-on-Sea, just up the road from me. They put the company together based on a love of tattoos and alternative music. And they've worked with some of the greatest artists around the world to produce these items of clothing that are as unique as you lot. All of the designs are printed using biodegradable, sustainable and water-based inks. In addition to that, they only print on garments made by members of Fairwear Foundation. I mean, come on, great clothing and a conscience. Since going live in April last year, they've seen their audience grow massively and are now selling orders all across the world. And they were recognised by Cosmopolitan magazine as one of the best sustainable clothing brands alongside names such as Stella McCartney. I mean, that's quite a first year, right? So, go and check them out, because they've put a lot of love into supporting this podcast, and I couldn't be happier. What else they've done is they've given you 15% off. So if you head over to www.sosclothing.co.uk, do a bit of shopping, see what you like, throw it in the basket, and then on the way out, put in the discount code BEAT15, BEAT15, and that'll save you 15% off. Amazing, right? www.sosclothing.co.uk, official sponsors of Off the Beaten Track podcast. Let's get back to that podcast. It's Off the Beaten Track podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network with me, Stu Whippin. Right, we are recording. We are at the WeWork building in Liverpool Street, kindly offered to us by a mutual friend, Ben Berlin, today. And sitting opposite me, which is the first time I've ever had to do this, is I'm going to semi-introduce my guest, and then I'm going to ask the guest to pronounce his second name, because I do not want to embarrass you by getting it wrong. Justin?
Justin Anukasi.
Anukasi.
Yeah.
Right. We was all sort of in the office. I was like, does anybody know how to pronounce Justin's second name correctly? Because I just don't want to get it wrong and start the podcast like that. So I hope you don't mind me asking you to do it yourself.
No problem at all. No problem at all. you're not the first and you won't be the last.
Okay, well, we've met once before. We was introduced by a mutual friend, Ben, at a... would you call that a business lunch? It was a kind of networking thing.
Yeah, probably business networking lunch. Yeah.
Yeah. And
good fun.
And you're the second podcast I've got from that lunch. There was a gentleman there called Brian Message who manages Nick Cave and Johnny Marr and such. And he was the guy that was responsible for hooking me up for last week's Frank Carter podcast, which is good. So it's a pleasure to have met you and have another guest come from that meeting.
No problem.
So you are the head of retail multi-asset funds at Legal & General?
That's correct, yes.
Okay, well, we won't go too much into that initially, but what I do want to talk about as this podcast unfolds, Justin, is your journey and the kind of the determination and focus that it's taken to get you from where you started to where you're at now. And but we always start this podcast with the obvious introduction, which is for your track one, which is the song with the greatest intro.
Song with the greatest intro. That's the one I struggled with.
Yeah.
So I don't really have anything. I was actually Googling songs with really good intros to see whether I could find one. And I really struggled. I really struggled to kind of come up with it. So I had some good intros that I thought about, but then nothing that was really that powerful that I really could really define as my greatest intro. So I drew a bit of a blank with that one, so sorry about that.
So would you say that, you said powerful, would you say that an intro should be powerful?
Not necessarily. It's just that when you, if the question is the greatest intro, I'd be thinking, oh, it's got to be something that really resonates with me.
Yeah.
And none of them did. And none of them did. And maybe because I suppose my favourite types of music, growing up in Manchester in the 90s and late 80s, it's actually hip hop. And so I was searching for, you know, really strong intros to hip hop songs. And I couldn't really get, well, not none that could I can articulate anyway on a public podcast.
We'll leave NWA right over there.
Yeah,
then.
So I thought, well, I better. I just drew a blank on it, really.
So that's really interesting that you said that you obviously we're going to talk about growing up, but Manchester, 89 to mid-90s, for me, the golden age of Manchester music, and hip-hop doesn't enter into that.
Yeah.
For me, I think 89, I think Hacienda, I think Stone Roses, Happy Mondays in Spiral Carpets, then I think straight the way through to, I guess, New Order as well, and then obviously Oasis.
Yeah. Right. So Oasis, you know, were clearly a very popular band in the school that, you know, school that I went to. I mean, Hacienda, I was a little bit too young for that one, so I never got to experience the Hacienda. But I suppose kind of thinking about my family roots, my friends, they're all into, you know, the US type of hip hop. Scene. My mum was a big fan of soul, the kind of early kind of R&B years. So, you know, that's really what the kind of music that influenced me. In terms of like indie and grunge and rock, it never really came in.
Yeah.
I mean, the closest I got to rock was, you probably call it pop music, but definitely influenced by rock, was Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
You know, Michael Jackson, for almost every black child growing up at that time, you know, what was somebody who you looked up to in terms of his music.
Yeah. I think white kids as well.
Yeah,
do you know
definitely,
what I mean?
Definitely. Was, everybody, right? But it just, you know, he was the first black person to go to be shown on MTV with Billie Jean. So naturally, that was an influence on me growing up.
So are we still cool to talk about Michael Jackson?
That's a good point. I was actually thinking that. I've asked this question on podcasts a few times
now, because it's impossible to have a music podcast and talk about growing up and Michael Jackson not coming into the conversation because he was so massive and had such an incredible creative output and affected so many people's lives for good.
Yeah.
And obviously it's come to light, apparently, obviously, the stuff that's come on. Have you watched the documentary?
Yeah, I haven't watched the documentary. To be fair, I watched a little bit of it. I think with all of these things, it's a really difficult one.
It's murky, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very murky. He's clearly been accused about a number of times before, and actually he found innocent once. But it keeps on going on, and it's actually really, really disappointing that it's kind of come to this. But he did definitely growing up. It was a big influence on my life.
So do you think it's possible to sort of separate, if we look at it as worst case scenario now of what's being reported on, can you separate the music from the man? Because it's something, as a fellow Mancunian, I'm a big fan of Morrissey and the Smiths. I love that band, I love that music, but he's been saying some dumb shit. Some really dumb stuff that I don't agree with, and it's really not what I'm about, but I can still appreciate the music aside from what he said. I guess maybe what Michael Jackson's being accused of is a little bit more sinister.
I think once it gets so murky, it's very difficult to dissociate the music from the man, right? If it's kind of small, the greater the offence, the harder it is to make that disassociation. We'll just have to see how it all pans out, really.
Track two, Justin. The first song you remember hearing that had an emotional impact on you. Now, I know you've sent me two over, so you can have honourable mentions, so you can get them both in, mate.
So, Lionel Richie, Hello. I do think the video there is really powerful. Video's really powerful, and the lyrics... every time I listen to it, you know, it almost brings a tear to my eye a little bit. But I suppose the other one I've got there is Stevie Wonder, I Just Called. And the reason why I like that one is just when I was growing up, when I was like, you know, 3-4 years old, that was my favorite song. And I associate it with, really happy times in my life. When growing up, and my mum's always telling me, "Oh, I love you, Justin," and I always kind of make the link back to that song. So probably Stevie Wonder, I Just Called, is probably the one that's had the biggest emotional impact on me. You know, every time I hear it, I always think back to when I was 3, when I was 4, and listening to, you know, the LP on the record player. And actually, it wasn't Stevie Wonder's, probably wasn't his best song, you know?
No.
But actually, it's the only one I think that got to number one in the UK. I don't think the others got to number one.
No, I don't think they did.
But it's probably not his best song, but it's one that definitely resonates with me and the one that I remember.
And you've chosen... I normally ask guests at this point what that emotion was that brought on, but you said happiness.
Yeah.
And you're the first one to sort of come forward and say that. Everyone else was like, "Oh, you know, when I had my heart broken for the first time, this song," and it's really nice that you just joy and happiness. That's really nice. So you said you was about 3 or 4when you heard that. So I'm just trying to sort of work out my timelines here. Do you mind me asking how old you are, Justin?
Yeah, I'm 37.
37. Okay. So you would have just missed the Hacienda then.
Yes.
So where was you born?
Manchester. So I was born in St Mary's Hospital, which is in the kind of Manchester centre. I first lived in Hume, which is kind of just south of the centre. Moved to Blakely, and then most of my life was my childhood. I was in Cheetham Hill and the Crumpsall area, so just north of the city centre.
I don't know too much about them places. What were they like as places?
Cheetham Hill in the early 90s, late 80s was pretty rough, you know. There was pretty much gang warfare between Cheetham Hill and Moss Side. that there were, it wasn't the most desirable area. No, definitely not. It has improved a lot more recently. The gang warfare seems to peter out in the mid 90s, but you know it was pretty hard upbringing at times, and I came from not a well off family. My mother kind of brought both me and my brother. We early 90s recession, we got kicked out of basically a house that was dispossessed. Late 90s, just before my GCSEs year, again we got evicted from a household. Had to live in a house which was really infested with a temporary accommodation infested with cockroaches. And it's the first time I actually experienced cockroaches when I was kind of 16, sorry. And they're just all over the place in that house. And eventually, just before my GCSEs, we moved to the house that my mother's still in Cheetham Hill. But it was a really pretty tough time. You know, you think about as well, you know, when one of the things that when I turned 16, I was desperate to get a job to kind of supplement my mother's income. So when I was at college, for example, I was working, you know, nights at what was called Allen's Fried Chicken, which was a copycat of a Kentucky Fried Chicken, or KFC. You know, I was working from, you know, 6 till 1, 6 till sometimes 3 in the morning, and getting up at, you know, 7 to go to college the next day, just to really try and buy a PC in order to actually do my coursework, you know, and supplement my mother's money my mum was giving me, so I could, you know, purchase material things, mainly music, actually.
Yeah.
So it was a pretty hard upbringing, and you know, it's, I think it, but you know, I do appreciate the value of hard work, because of that. My mum really taught me a lot, particularly that if you get knocked down, it's not important, you know, it's important, you know, how you bounce back from that. So that perseverance, that resilience, has really kind of been taught to me from my mother.
I mean, before you spoke about what was going on with your accommodation and the things that was happening during the recession. You also mentioned this is at the time on the area that you was living in, which was, you know, crime and gang violence was rife. Mm. Was that something that you consciously was never drawn to? Did you, you know, obviously you said you wanted a PC. Was there nothing leaning, thinking, you know, is this an option? Could I get involved in anything that's surrounding me? Like, how did you maintain, or did you maintain focus and think, I've had good things instilled in me to know right from wrong?
I mean, the option was always there.
You know, so I bombarded you with a lot of questions there, sorry.
The option was always there. I suppose it's just my mum again, you know, teaching me the values that I think I have today. And she, importantly, taught me the importance of education. You know, she was a teacher, which kind of helped.
Right.
But I, from a very early age, my mum was teaching me, I think I knew long multiplication at the age of 5. You know,
right.
You know, that's you know how much she was teaching me.
Yeah.
And it just stayed with me, the importance of education and actually hard work in order to get the right grades, in order to try and get myself out of that situation. You know, I did reasonably well at school, and I kind of put that down to my mum. I suppose if it could have been different, right? It could have been different if I wasn't doing well at school. It may have been very easy to get sucked into. You know, what was going on around me. But I suppose the other thing is I've got a great group of friends who all thought the same way.
Right.
All went to university, you know, didn't get involved in anything they shouldn't have been getting involved in, and focused on actually improving social mobility, really, I suppose. Yeah.
Okay, well, whilst talking about school, it leads us on nicely to track 3, which is the song that reminds you of your time at school.
Yeah.
So you sent a few over here.
Yeah, again, I sent a few over. I suppose that the one that kind of really stands out to me is, and this again is like primary school, and you know, I didn't really like the band even, but it was Bros.
Yeah.
And it was When Will I Be Famous?
Yeah.
The main reason for that is that, you know, we always used to sing it at school. We always used to sing it when I was like, you know, we're talking about 6 years old, seven yeah. years old. That was a song we used to sing, you know. The other one is a time when Neighbours was at its height, right?
Yeah, of course.
And we had two people in our class. One was called, not Kylie, but Carly. And we had a guy called Jason. And they used to kind of pretend to be Kylie Minogue and Jason Donovan. And so the one that stands out to me is I Should Be So Lucky by yeah. Kylie Minogue. And they did one together, didn't they?
Especially for you.
Yeah, that's the one. Oh, yeah, you remember it. Yeah. So they used to sing that one as well. So I suppose that reminds me of school days. And then actually, one that I didn't actually mention initially, is which you'll know anyway, is MC Hammer, You Can't Touch This.
Yeah.
That was, you know, that was when hip-hop seemed to go mainstream, and you'd yeah. have people coming into school and, you know, doing the Running Man and things yeah. like that. So, again, that's one that kind of does give me reminder of primary school.
Yeah. Enjoy school?
Yeah, I did actually. I did, and maybe it's because I enjoyed learning. I enjoyed doing well in school. So, as I say, it may have been completely different if I wasn't doing so well. But I really enjoyed both primary and secondary school. Less so sixth form, because at sixth form that's when I was doing the long hours around, you know, working around going into sixth form. And our sixth form college at the time, we had this crazy system where you'd have to swipe in at, I think it was at 8:30 every day. Even if you didn't have lessons, throughout the whole day, you had to swipe in. And that was quite painful to getting up at that time and yeah. having, you know, such a lack of sleep, really.
And all school was in Manchester, yeah?
Yeah, so... primary school, Crumpsall; secondary school, Prestwich. The sixth form was actually in Bury, essentially Greater Manchester. Yeah. Yeah.
So did you feel a connection to people at school?
I do. I still speak to a lot of people who I grew up with, both the people I grew up with in Cheetham Hill, or kind of around my area, but also the people who I went to school with. I've got, you know, a really tight group of friends. I still speak to people that I went to primary school with, who've known since I was like 4 years old. So I think I've got a connection to school, and also to Manchester as well. I've got a lot yeah. of family up there. I had a massive family.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, we talk about the hardships, and I suppose a lot of my family went through those hardships. But having that big family network around was really helpful.
So did you know what you wanted to do at school? Did you have a kind of plan as to where you wanted to take it?
No, so at primary school, I always wanted to be a doctor. And then I flipped to wanting to be a lawyer, because I thought, you know, I can't deal with, like, blood and I'm too square, you know, too squeamish. So, and then I did a work experience at a law firm. You know, the 2 weeks work experience mm-hmm. you do in year 10. And I absolutely hated it. I thought it was so boring.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, I need to focus on something which I enjoy, which is maths. One area which was an obvious area for me to think about was kind of being an actuary, because they use maths a lot in their role. So I set my heart on being an actuary. And when I finally became started as a junior actuary, as a actuarial student, I realised that I hated it. It definitely wasn't for me. And then I moved from pension consulting to investment consulting, and that's where I got exposure to understanding markets. And that, to me, was, yeah, that's when my eyes opened and I realised that that's what I needed to do to fulfil, to actually align my personal goals and what I enjoy with what I do at work.
And outside of work as well, you're playing football.
Oh, yeah, I love football, yeah. Both okay. watching and playing, yeah.
A pretty decent level, right?
Yeah, so I played at a very good level, actually. So it was actually the Manchester Amateur League, but I suppose it's semi-professional it's for Prestwich Hayes. It's the Manchester Amateur League, but it's semi-professional in the fact that people are getting paid in the first team. I played a number of times for the reserves. I played once for the first team. I also played for Cheadle in a few friendlies, and they are, you know, they were semi-professional at the time.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed that. There was my friend always tells me that I made a big mistake. So we were, when we were leaving school, our coach for the football team invited me and him to go and play for Main Road, which is a semi-professional team at the time. And he said yes. I didn't hear him ask the question. I didn't hear the coach ask the question. And so I just never went. And he always says that he asked both of us. He keeps on saying, you know, even now to this day, he said he asked both of us and you just ignored him. And I was like, okay. But then, you know, I'd never had the ability to go all the way anyway. So
did you know that?
Yeah, I did. I did. So that impacted. I knew my weaknesses and I knew my strengths. And I knew that I didn't have the ability to go all the way. But, you know, I've won a lot of awards as a kid, you know, best player in the Bury and Radcliffe League, you know, so, manager's player of the year and so on and so forth. So I do keep all the trophies. I think they're in the loft somewhere, though. So.
Do you still have a kickabout?
I try, but I've had a lot of injuries now. So, yeah.
Okay.
Bit too old for it now, I think.
Track 4, Justin, the first record you remember buying?
So again, going back to hip hop, you know, a bit of kind of, it's just a mixture of hip hop and R&B.
Swing beat.
Yeah, swing beat. That's spot on. It's Bobby Brown, Don't Be Cruel.
The album or the single?
It was a single,
right?
And it was a record.
Yeah.
LP, and the second song on that Don't Be Cruel was My Prerogative.
Of course.
Which again is a classic Bobby Brown song.
It's a classic album.
Yeah. And I remember knowing all the words to My Prerogative, and Don't Be Cruel as well, actually. So they're two songs which again, you know, remind me of my childhood.
Yeah.
And I've probably still got the LP somewhere, but I don't have an LP player. So.
Do you know what? It's really interesting because it's like, I think for people sort of growing up now and their exposure to Bobby Brown is probably, he was the guy that was married to Whitney Houston, he was the guy that literally turned it all upside down for a few years.
Yeah,
when he come out,
it's brilliant. Yeah,
and I remember, I think it was probably Prerogative was the first track I heard, and it was that Teddy Riley production, that swing beat sound all of that, Bell Biv DeVoe, they all had that sound, and it was just brilliant. And then Every Step I Take, all of these tunes, and Roni, it was this is incredible. And he was this phenomenon that he could dance so amazingly.
And he
was super cool looking. Yeah. And he just, I wonder what he was up to. When I sort of see your song choices, I had a little Google, and he's back on tour with, because he was in New Edition, wasn't he?
And
the rest of New Edition was Bell Biv DeVoe.
And
they're back out on tour as New Edition.
But okay.
I find it quite weird hearing a load of blokes in their probably mid-50s now singing Candy Girl. That must sound sound a little bit strange, that.
When they're dancing as well, that'll be...
Probably
damage themselves.
Can you remember where you bought it?
Where?
Yeah.
So I think it must have been HMV.
Yeah.
There used to be a big HMV in Manchester City Centre. It's not there anymore. I don't think it's there anymore, anyway. I think it's now Barclays Bank. And it used to be the one that everyone used to go in. And it used to just be massive, this store.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
And you know, for years and years and years, I was buying CDs and albums and not so much records, actually, because by the time that was probably the only record I bought.
Yeah.
And then by the time after that, you know, it's pretty much CD territory, right? But that was the place I'd go to buy my albums.
Brilliant. So you then get into uni?
Yes.
Where was that?
At Warwick. So, actually in Coventry. So, Warwick University is in Coventry. Bit of a bubble, like, a bit of a change, right? So, you know, you go from a city in Manchester to a bit of a bubble on the outskirts of a very small, I don't know, it's town or a city.
Coventry.
Yeah. So a very small, but it's a small city, right? Mm. And Warwick is then, you know, in the suburbs of that. So, yeah. So it's it was a bit of a strange one, a bit of a strange change in environment.
Warwick's quite nice, isn't it?
Yeah, Warwick's nice.
So around Warwick Castle and things like that, it's all very, very...
Yeah, and to be fair, Coventry is, you know, it's been really, a lot of investment's gone into it.
I think it's City of Culture next year.
Yeah, so it was a bit of a shock to the system, though, to be... And it wasn't so much in Coventry. I think I would have been more suited to living in Coventry, given that... I was from Manchester, but it's actually, you know, I live on campus for years one and year three, and that is like you're in a bubble, right? You're in a bubble with just students and no real city life. So it was definitely a bit, initially it was a big shock to my system, but the fact that I chose to live on campus in the third year kind of tells you that I did enjoy it.
Hello, I've interrupted the podcast again, haven't I? Sorry, it won't take a sec. All I want to say is, the songs that we're talking about in this podcast, if we can't play them, it's just because of the regulations regarding playing licensed music and such. So if you want to hear the songs, just go over to Spotify and search Off the Beat and Track podcast, and you can listen to all the songs because I've put playlists up for each of these. If you can't find it on there, I'll send links on all the social media accompanying each episode. So you've just got to press that one button and you can go through. And you can enjoy all the songs that our guest picks. Anyway, I'll shut up, get back to the podcast. See you on the other side. Yeah, I was going to say a shock. Was that a good shock or a bad shock?
Eventually it turned into a good shock, but I think for everything, it takes time to adjust.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did enjoy my university years.
Okay. So, well, that again leads on very nicely, because the next track is I Want to Know the Song That Soundtracked Your Years Clubbing. So, would you have been venturing into Cov to go to nightclubs and such, or was I won't mention a track you've chose yet, but or was that back in Manchester?
So the first time I ventured into a club, probably telling you a bit too much now. Actually, the first time it was a under 16s club,
right? Okay,
and I was 14, and you know, there's a lot of kind of in Manchester at that time. There was no real exposure to hip hop or R&B, which is kind of what I enjoyed at the time, and it was all pretty much dance music. And I remember we used to go to a place called the Roxy in Bury, and now it's called I don't know what it's called now. Then it changed its name to Solviva. The first time I went to a proper club, I was still very young. I was 15 actually, but I clearly looked 18. Well, maybe I didn't, but anyway, it was Discotheque Royale, which then changed its name to Infinity, M2, And now I think it's closed. I think it's closed, but that's a massive, massive club in Manchester. But dance music then, you know, is something that really stands out as something that, not necessarily I like the music that much, but just, you know, when I was out in clubs, that's what I heard. And the song that kind of jumped out at me was You Don't Know Me by Armand van Helden, I think it is.
Yeah.
And it seemed like every time we'd go out, you just hear that song on loop all the time. So you know, when I saw this question, that was the first song that jumped in my memory. And then I suppose that when I got to the late 90s, so early 2000, it was the kind of a lot of garage music which I enjoyed. And then one song that stands out to me there is Little Man by Sia. But there's a range of different garage music which I still listen to actually at times. But
it seems massive resurgence garage.
Yeah. So I'd love to kind of maybe I can venture out to a garage club again. Actually, that'd be good fun.
So, what did you want from clubbing? What did you on a night out? What was it that you was looking for?
Oh, that's a good question. So at that stage, I didn't really. I mean, I drink a lot more. I don't really go out clubbing. That's the first thing. But I drink a lot more now than I did when I was younger. I mean, maybe that's down to money, really. You know, you just have like probably two drinks maximum. There's a place actually called the Lazy Pig, which is now closed down as well. Which was
Manchester or Coventry?
Manchester.
Yeah.
£1 in. Was it £1 in? 50p in, and £1 a drink.
God, I would not want to be a doorman at that place.
Yeah. And it was in the Northern Quarter, now called the Northern Quarter in Manchester. And that's where we always used to start out.
It's nice for Northern Quarter. I like that.
Yeah, it's really nice now. Then it wasn't the best. To be honest.
It's quite bohemian there, isn't it?
Yeah. And what would I say? What we were looking for as a group of young boys. There was really kind of really one thing on our mind. Was
of course.
Looking for dates and so on and so forth. So
well put.
Yeah. I'll leave it there, I think.
Okay, so you leave uni, Justin, and then it's time to get a job.
Yeah.
So what happened there?
That's when I started off as an actuarial student. I applied like crazy for actuarial jobs. I must have applied to over 50 roles. I did get the role at Aon Consulting, as it was then called. Now it's called Aon Hewitt. Actually, they used to be based in Devonshire Square, which is where we're doing this podcast. I just really didn't like it. It was... Everyone has what they enjoy doing, and... You know, building lots of huge spreadsheets to try and calculate the liabilities of the pension scheme just wasn't me.
Yeah.
And you know, I looked at the senior people in you know, qualified actuaries, scheme actuaries, principals in the business, and I didn't aspire to be them. And I knew that very early on. I knew I'd made a mistake. I tried to think about other roles that I could do. I was looking at, you know, what was available. At the same time, I was trying to do actuarial exams, you know, to actually just to make sure that I kept the job, for number one. And then I got a bit of a lifeline, and the lifeline was two people from the investment department, as part of the graduate training scheme, came to talk about investment. And when I heard them talk about what they did, that just, you know, I knew straight away that was something that I would be passionate about. So I went straight to the head of investment consulting, emailed him. He said, oh, you know, let's have a catch up. Got to his office. Somebody else was sat down with him, a team leader. And basically I pitched for the job. I said that, you know, this is something that I know I'm passionate about. And within 8 months, so within a month of that meeting, I was then moved teams into the investment team. But with 8 months at Aon, I'd moved from pensions to investment consulting. So I think I did learn one thing there, or two things, is that actually it's so important to align your personal goals and what you enjoy personally with what you do at work. Otherwise, you're not going to enjoy your job.
Mm-hmm.
And the second thing is, if you're really not enjoying your role and really not enjoying what you do, then, you know, don't feel you have to, you know, continue to be stuck in a rut. And actually, it's really down to you to kind of pull yourself out and really research where you want to go. And that's one of the, you know, a key nugget of advice, I suppose, I give to juniors who ask me, they don't enjoy the job or it's not aligned to them, you know, what should they do?
Do you think sometimes, obviously the pressure and the demand for income, like, is what's going to be keeping a lot of these people doing things that they don't like doing.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It's for me, you know, I've been in situations where I've had jobs that I've really not enjoyed doing,
yeah.
and I've not been in a position where I can think, right, I just need to get out. I need to get out. And you can keep applying if things that you want to do aren't coming. I've never been in that position where I could just quit and spend a couple of months with the money that's in the bank, you know, being able to sort of try and find something. I think that's a pressure that's
I mean, I'd never suggest just quitting, but, you know, I do think you have to be proactive in trying to get out.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's amazing the number of people that I speak to who, you know, want a different role but haven't really tried to engage with other people in that role, haven't tried to network, haven't tried to mentor, because it's just not them. So, you know, any advice that I can give, because given that I've been on at least some of that journey, I think, hopefully it can be helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah, hopefully.
Fantastic. Yeah. Favourite song from an artist from your hometown?
Yeah, so this was a hard one.
You're spoilt for choice.
Yeah, yeah. But I was always trying to link it back to hip-hop and as well, you know, the music that I enjoy. And that hasn't been that much, right? I mean, now you're starting to see the grime scene is really starting to pick up in the UK. So there's a guy called Bugsy, who I think lyrically he's very gifted, really, really gifted. But, you know, clearly, I don't think he's... I don't think he's done enough to warrant, you know, my favourite song from my home count, well, Manchester. So I thought of Oasis. You know, there's lots of Oasis songs which I do enjoy. And I've got, you know, downloaded into my phone. But the one I really enjoy and is not just because he's a Manchester United fan. Is Simply Red and Mick Hucknall, Stars.
Mm.
I think it's a fantastic song. And, you know, every time I, you know, given that I do have this bias towards hip-hop, every time I put the song on, you know, friends or family or my wife is kind of telling me, well, why do you like this song so much?
Yeah.
But it's just something about the song which I just think is so melodical. It's one of my favourites.
It's a real weird one, like, because a lot of people really have an issue with Mick Hucknall.
And I don't
really get what the problem is. I guess because he's surrounded by so many, you know, Mancunian... Manchester's obviously thrown out so much amazing music.
Yeah.
And the music that Simply Red do is probably... more mainstream, maybe, than, for instance, definitely. The Roses or the Mondays or and things like that. But if you go back to the early releases of Simply Red, like Holding Back the Years, Money's Too Tight to Mention, Do the Right Thing.
Yeah.
It's working class soul music.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know? And it's undeniable, however much of a... whatever he is and has been over the years, you know, his voice is incredible.
Yeah.
Undeniable. And I was flicking through some tracks again after getting this, and it was very late in his career, and I think it's one of his best vocal deliveries ever. And it was the track that he done with, I think it was Wyclef Jean, Angel.
Oh, yeah.
What
an
amazing record.
And so
I'll side with you on this, just because I do think that Hucknall gets too much of a bad rap a lot of the time. I think he's sung enough good songs to warrant his notoriety as a valid songwriter. Have you ever seen him live?
I haven't. No. Yeah. Have you?
I haven't. No. Okay. No. Was gigs on the radar growing up? Did you go and watch bands?
I didn't because bands at the time. It's funny, I haven't seen that much live music. Bands at the time in Manchester was all, you know, was more indie, grunge.
Of course, yeah.
And I just didn't like that music so much. Mm. And also, you know, then it came down to money as well, right? So, you know, actually throughout my life, even now, I don't go to that much live music. Probably the best concert that I've been to was Hammersmith Apollo, and it was the Fugees, when they comebacks, actually, and it was actually very good, very good. Even though that Lauryn Hill now gets a lot of stick for when she does a live concert, so and arguably her voice isn't as strong as it used to be.
Yeah,
it was a really good. Really good set they went through.
Incredible band.
Oh, incredible, yeah. And I think Miss Education, Lauryn Hill. I'm going to try and squeeze it in here somewhere because it's an absolutely fantastic album.
Amazing.
Yeah, and but I couldn't squeeze it in anywhere. Well, at least I've given it
I'm happy to talk about Lauryn Hill all day long. I think one of the greatest voices the last 20 years without a shadow of a doubt. All right, so for your last track... Justin, I ask you to play DJ and recommend a song that many may not know that you like, that you'd like them to hear.
Yeah, so I had to squeeze this guy in somehow because, again, as a hip hop artist, I think he is he's one of my favourites, if not the favourite, and that's Notorious B.I.G. I think lyrically he was so strong. You know, unfortunately, what was it 1997 now? So what's that? Only 22 years ago, right? Mm. 22 years ago. That, you know, he passed.
Don't start playing that game. I do that now. I think that can only be 10. The 90s was only 10 years ago, right? And then you start to think, oh no, it won't. That record's 30 years old.
Yeah, he's feel really old. Yeah. So March 9th, 1997 is when he was murdered. But, you know, when I kind of go through his songs and I think of, you know, which are the ones that are most strongest lyrically, you think of, like, Warning, you think of maybe you're Nobody Till Somebody Kills You. But the one that really stands out to me is Unbelievable on Ready to Die. And I think Ready to Die was his breakthrough album in 1994. I think it was 94. And Unbelievable as a lyrically... I think it's just fantastic, and the way he, the way his voice interacts with the beats is really quite powerful. And again, hip hop artists to some extent get a lot of stick. You know, when people challenge them, are they truly musical artists? But I tell you what, you know, I've written songs in my time, and you know, it is actually really hard to sound good on a beat. Even if you're the most talented poet, to sound good on a beat is actually very difficult.
It's all about the delivery.
Yeah, exactly. But Biggie, you know, I see him as a poet as well, right? You know, some of the stuff he wrote.
And he had flow. Great flow.
Yeah, and his interaction with different words and so on and so forth, I think it's really, really powerful. So I had to include it. I had to include him somewhere, and I squeezed him in at the end.
Oh, that's a great shout, that. Justin, thank you very much for doing this.
Thank you.
It's been an absolute pleasure.
Enjoyed it. Thank you.
There you have it. What an absolute gentleman Justin was. It was a really interesting time to record with Justin because I guess I'm feeling more comfortable now talking to people from the creative industry. And if you've listened to previous episodes of this podcast, you'll be aware that 99.9% of previous guests have been actors, musicians, comedians, producers, DJs, and they're fields in which some of which I've worked in, and so I kind of feel comfortable in those conversations. So it was really refreshing and interesting to chat to somebody that doesn't work in any of those industries, and just to find out about the impact that the music had on
on him and him as a person in his career. So thank you very much, Justin, for coming on and doing this episode. Thank you very much to Ben Berlin for arranging it and introducing us. And thanks mainly to you lot for listening, supporting and encouraging me to keep moving forward and developing this podcast. Have a lovely week, and I will see you next time. Bye-bye. Oh, yeah. Sorry. I've butted in yet again. I just want to quickly tell you about this magazine. It's called Pod Bible. Now, Pod Bible is the new essential guide to podcasts. It's put together alongside Spotify and Acast, and it's a one-stop shop to tell you all about the podcasts you maybe know about, but definitely about a load of the podcasts that you probably don't know about that we think you should know about. I mean, in the first edition, there's interviews with Adam Buxton, interviews with Craig Parkinson, there's features on Jade Adams, and there's just an abundance of information about so many exciting podcasts that are out there. Also, Spotify have given us these amazing little codes, so if you do get a print copy, you can just turn on your Spotify on your phone, scan the little code, and it just automatically opens up the podcast on your listening device. How good's that? If you haven't managed to get a print copy, then just go over to www.podbiblemag.com and read it online, because the digital version is all over there and it's all free. So every other month there'll be a new edition out. So go and have a look and support us on the social medias as well. Podbiblemag.com. It's Off the Beat and Track podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network. Make stew with him.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.